What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
98.5 Sunshine FM. The picture of three men on the winner's podium after the men's 200 metres final at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics is still considered one of the most powerful images of modern history. Almost forgotten in the ensuing years is the man in the left of the picture, the Australian silver medalist Peter Norman. 40 years on from that historic moment, Peter's nephew Matt Norman has created a movie which tells the true story of what happened in 1968, with input from all three athletes, Tommy Smith, John Kalos, and of course, the late Peter Norman. The director of Salute, Matt Norman, joins me now. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you for having me.
For those who perhaps haven't seen that powerful image or need a bit of reminding, can you give us a description of the salute that gave the movie its name?
The image, which is actually one of the top three of the 20th century, is the image of the 1968 Mexico City Olympics with Tommy Smith, John Kalos, and Peter Norman in the medal ceremony, where John and Tommy, with a black gloved fist, raise their hand to publicise the fact that they are not being treated equally compared to their white American athletes, and especially they are not being treated the same as the white American. So they, in protest, did something that no one else would do and did something silent and simple, and it turned into a picture that represents civil and human rights in today's reality.
It seemed like such an odd thing that American society was quite happy for these black men to run a race, to win medals for their country, but they weren't prepared to treat them as they were treating the others in the Olympic team.
I think that seems to be the problem in America even since, is that African Americans are used as cannon fodder in wars. African Americans seem to be outstanding at sporting achievements, so they become heroes. And back then, as soon as they did their so-called American job, they were put back in the streets and left to their own defences. So civil rights back in 1960s was a really, really bad issue. And obviously being 1968, there was the obvious tension with the Vietnam War, the Martin Luther King assassination, the Robert Kennedy assassination. And so this kind of brought together an issue that black America needed to stand up for themselves, and they did that. And what they weren't prepared for was a white guy to stand up with them wearing the OPHR badge, which stood for Olympic Project for Human Rights. And for a white guy to stand up for black America was kind of a no-no back here in Australia as well as there in the States. Peter being Peter, and the way he grew up and what he's been taught and his attitude towards race issues, is the fact that he was standing up for these guys as mates, these guys as athletes and as human beings. And that seems to be the difference with what other people stand up for. You know, if you're going to stand up, you should stand up for the right reasons. And in demonstrations, always use non-violence as a way of demonstrating. You know, this was a silent gesture that was heard around the world, and they didn't say a thing.
And Peter was very much aware that this was about to happen. The other athletes had spoken to him about it.
Yeah. One thing that never came out with Peter's story is the fact that, number one, he was an Australian, and Australians are shocked with the fact that we've missed it. We've missed the 200-metre silver medalist who still holds the Commonwealth and Australian record 40 years later. But he was a bigger part than most people actually understand. And the fact that Tommy and John were the only people that knew that the demonstration was going to happen, and obviously Peter, because they got together underneath the stadium before they walked out and discussed it. John left his gloves at home or back in the village, and Tommy said that he was still going to use the black glove salute. So Peter actually said to them, why don't you use one each? Obviously, because you're going to put up one hand. Peter encouraged it. You know, he had every right in the world to ask them not to, because this was his moment in Olympic history. This was, you know, a silver medal at an Olympic Games is certainly something to be very proud of. He knew that it wasn't going to be taken well. And for him to actually allow it to happen and actually support it just goes to show the sort of person he was. It's about time that this story was told in the right way instead of the glorified way, which seems to have happened in America. And the one person they've always missed out on is Peter, because he had a much bigger role than what people thought of the time.
And there were rumours that there was going to be some sort of protest. The authorities didn't know quite what, and they were trying to suppress anything that might happen.
It started out because a guy by the name of Harry Edwards, who was a civil rights activist and African-American, he planned a boycott of the Olympic Games in 68. And they had a meeting prior to the Olympic Games, and they realised that if they boycott the Olympics, it just means that medals are going to go elsewhere. They believed that what they needed to do was actually win the medals to give them a better opportunity to show that not only are we American, or they American, but that they are winners for American gold. And what happened after that was no one came to a conclusion on how it should be done, but it became obvious that some athletes didn't want to boycott or make a demonstration, and some did. So it was then brought to the attention of all athletes that they could make a demonstration that they wanted to make if they wanted to make it. And there was a few opportunities before Tommy and John, but Tommy and John were the first to do it. I mean, there were rumours that they had snipers in the crowd that were going to kill anyone that actually made a stand. The American coach's house and phone were tapped, and he had thugs walking around watching every move he made. He was getting phone calls saying, where's the next meetings that you're having? And Peter was certainly aware of the opportunity of, you know, a white guy standing in the same demonstration to be taken care of in that time was quite high. So they did fear, and I remember asking Tommy what it felt like knowing that the threat was there, knowing that as soon as you put your hand up, it could have been the last time. And you can almost see it when you look in his eyes when he's doing it. He kind of closes it. He closes his eyes really tightly, and I was wondering if that was because he was worried about what was about to happen.
It certainly drew attention to the movement at that time. As you say, it's one of those images that has just lived on, and 40 years on, as soon as you flash that image in front of people, most people will recognise it. Yeah. They might not know the full story, and especially Peter's story, but they recognise that image, so it still has an effect today.
What most Australians don't understand too is that image is used in protest around the world. I know that France especially use it still as a way of student demonstrations. They use that to show freedom of speech and the civil and human rights atrocities or injustices around the world. They'll bring that photo out as almost a logo of that time. Back in 1968, people thought that the black fist was a sign of aggression, but it was at no stage was it ever used as a violent gesture. A lot of people were confused that it was a Black Panther salute, which it wasn't. They had no affiliation with the Black Panthers at all. They believed that the best course of action for anything is non-violent. They believed in what they were trying to do without saying a thing.
Unfortunately, your uncle passed away before the film was completed. Do you think he'd be proud of the finished product?
I was lucky to show him the first version before I was actually given support from the federal government and funding bodies, etc. And he cried all the way through it. So that was a good moment for me. But I suppose the worst part about this whole process making the film is the fact that I actually did this for him. Me and Pete have been best mates since I was a kid. And, you know, I started this film to honour an uncle that I loved, and I wanted to make him finally be recognised for what he had done. Purely this film was a dedication to me looking up to him as a hero in my eyes. And it turned out to be something a lot greater, because I realised that there are so many Australians that had no clue that we had an Australian in that photo, and let alone a silver medalist that hasn't been recognised for his achievements in sport and civil rights. I was sick and tired of saying that I had a famous uncle and he's the white guy in the Black Power protest photo. Now I want Australians to say that's Peter Norman in the Black Power protest photo.
But obviously you've highlighted more than that. You've highlighted his beliefs and his values in what you've done.
He was a very typical Aussie ocker. I'd call him a comedian more than anything. I mean, he used to razz people up a lot. He was a member of the Salvation Army. My whole family have actually been in the Salvos and were officers. And You know, I kind of feel that his political stances started a long time before Mexico, when he used to wear tracksuits that said Jesus lives on one of them and God is love on the other. And that was a demonstration against the Salvos. He didn't really like him running on Sundays. So he said, well, if I promote God, can I run on Sundays? So after a bit of toing and froing, he came to training with God is love and Jesus saves right across his tracksuit, and he wore that all the way through his athletic career. As a Norman, we've all grown up in that sort of environment with the Salvos and the beliefs in. Strangely, it wasn't just about whether you believe in God or not, or a religion or a faith. It was about believing in humanity and helping those that can't help themselves. And this was an opportunity for him to stand up for what he believed was right.
It's an outstanding movie. It's going to be at Cinema Paradiso from July the 17th. The movie's name is Salute. I'm talking to the director today, Matt Norman. Matt, thank you for spending some time and for sharing the story of your uncle. It's a powerful one, and thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.